Hello, and welcome to Talkin' Tales, where we share stories about our animal companions, their unique personalities, their zany antics, and the heartbreak of saying goodbye. I'm your host, Paul Barnett. In this episode, I'm going to share the story of two ferrets who were in the same room, though never met, but together defined a special 10-year era in my animal family. In early 2013, I met a small, all-white ferret who needed a home. Her previous home was with a family, and the ferret was taken care of by a teenager. Unfortunately, they didn't have experience with ferrets and didn't properly educate themselves on things like proper bedding. This little ferret had been kept in a glass tank like a fish tank, lined with wood chips. She slept on the wood chips, and so a significant amount of the fur on her neck had been worn away. Her name was Haiku. Haiku was about 1 year old and now available for adoption from a shelter. I introduced her to my ferret business at the time, which consisted of Peter, Piper, Pixel, Pretzel, and Zoe. Haiku looked a bit like Zoe, but was smaller. They all got along well, and so I adopted Haiku that day. Haiku brought a great energy to my family. She loved to run around and play and get everyone else worked up in a very positive and happy way. She would get everyone to chase her. My dog Harry, a 13-pound terrier chihuahua mix, loved to play with her. Despite the size difference, Harry played appropriately with her, always being very gentle. One of my favorite memories of Harry and Haiku playing involved a large, squishy bone toy that Harry liked to play with. It was about as big as Haiku. But one evening, Haiku grabbed it and ran off with it. Harry followed her, and the two of them played tug-of-war with it. Harry, of course, could have just ripped it away from her and sent her flying with it. But that isn't Harry. Instead, he gently pulled at it, and the two went back and forth for a minute, until Haiku won and dragged the toy away. I saw this interaction between the two of them several times, and most times, Haiku won. Another favorite memory of the two of them was when I saw Harry chase Haiku across the room and around the corner into the kitchen. Haiku was running and bouncing at high speed. As they briefly disappeared from my view, I heard their paws stop. A moment later, I heard their paws start up again, and they came back around the corner into the room. This time, however, Haiku was chasing Harry, and Harry was clearly enjoying it. When they returned to their starting point, Haiku reached up, and Harry bent down, and they gently bumped noses, and repeated it all again. Haiku became the de facto leader of the business. Everyone loved her. They followed her. No one ever fought with her, and there were never any hints of a disagreement. When playtime started, she was often the first one to come down the ramp from the cage, and her brothers and sisters followed. Her mission seemed to be to ensure that everyone had fun. In fact, Haiku is the reason that even to this day, I open my kitchen pantry folding doors during ferret playtime. I used to keep the doors closed, as the pantry wasn't ferret-proofed. Haiku had other plans, though. She was small enough that she was able to squeeze under the door, and she would go inside and push the doors open from the inside, allowing access for her brothers and sisters. Over the course of several weeks, I tried various things to stop this behavior, including putting heavy objects in front of the doors, filling in the gap at the bottom of the doors, and more. Haiku would have none of it. She would learn how to unblock the gap, or work with her brothers and sisters to move the heavy objects just enough to open the doors. She outsmarted her human, not unlike her big sister Buffy, who had been gone for 4 years by the time Haiku was born. You can hear Buffy's story in episode 1 of our podcast. I enjoyed watching Haiku's antics for several years, and enjoyed watching her interact with her existing and new brothers and sisters. In 2015, shortly after her big sister Zoe passed away, Haiku helped welcome Milo and Smidget into the family. You can hear Milo's story in episode 10. Because Haiku was so full of life and energy, and was smaller in size, I never really thought of her as Milo's big sister, but she technically was. In late 2016, something wasn't quite right with Haiku. She was having trouble walking and running. After a quick check at the vet, Haiku was diagnosed with insulinoma, which is a condition where the blood glucose drops too low due to one or more small tumors on the pancreas. There is no cure, but it can be kept at bay with medication. Despite having had ferrets for 15 years at that point, I had not had any experience with this somewhat common condition. We started Haiku on medication immediately, and for a while she was better, but we needed to increase the medication dose repeatedly, in an unusually short period of time, to keep her well. At the same time that Haiku received her diagnosis, her big brother Peter was battling his own health issue. He appeared to have some kind of minor issue or infection with his left eye. Medications weren't fully addressing the issue, and so I arranged to get a CT scan. Once Haiku received her diagnosis, and I learned more about insulinoma, I asked one of her doctors about the possibility of surgery to try to remove the tumors on her pancreas. The doctor cautioned that there were risks. The tumors are often tiny, and part of the pancreas has to be removed, but you can't remove too much of it, and the tumors could be spread out over too much of it. Moreover, given Peter's as-yet undiagnosed condition, the doctor cautioned that Haiku could pass away during surgery, and, should Peter's condition be fatal, no ferret guardian should have to endure two losses in a month. In late January of 2017, I took Peter in for his CT scan. We had to go to a different clinic, but one of his doctors from his regular vet attended to help with the procedure. I waited in the waiting area for what seemed like an unusually long amount of time, but a nurse finally came out to get me, and she asked me to follow her back to an exam room. I was expecting the doctor to come in and tell me what they found on the scan. Instead, the doctor and another nurse came in and told me that during the scan, Peter's heart stopped, and they were unable to get him back. Peter was gone. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. It was not much consolation, but the doctor did tell me that what they found on the scan was unfixable. Peter had lymphoma, and it would likely not have been more than a few weeks before I would have had to make that impossible decision to end Peter's suffering. It would have been the first time I would have had to help a ferret out of his or her body. In the following weeks, we increased Haiku's medication dose multiple times. She was continuing to have difficulty intermittently. One Saturday, I rushed her to an emergency appointment at the vet, as even with medication and soup, she was unable to stand and did not look well at all. They were able to help her somewhat and took a blood sample. I returned home with Haiku, and she was okay for the remainder of the day, but just okay. She was not active and not her usual self. I kept Haiku beside me that night, keeping a watchful eye on her and making sure she was eating regularly. In the middle of that night, I experienced one of the scariest and most awful things imaginable. Ferrets are very quiet animals. They don't bark or meow or squawk. When excited and playing, they can make a gentle "tuk" sound. Haiku was screaming. I learned that these were screaming seizures, and that the best I could do for her was to cover her head with a towel to block the light, which would stop the seizures, but was not a cure. It was at that point that I realized I was going to have to make that impossible decision. Haiku's body was failing, and she was now having uncontrollable, unfixable seizures. I put her into her carrier and took her on one final ride. Around this time, the lab results from her blood test became available. Haiku's liver values were off the charts. No one could explain how she was even alive. A short while later, as I held her in my lap and gave the okay to let her go, and then felt her slipping away, I told her repeatedly that I loved her. I hoped she heard me and understood. It was a short while later when I recalled what one of Haiku's doctors said about losing 2 ferrets in a month. Haiku's final gift to me was to keep that from happening, if only for a little while, as it had been exactly 1 month and 1 day since I lost Peter. My heart was still broken into a million pieces. That same day, before I left Haiku's now lifeless body for cremation, I was introduced to a baby ferret. He was a little white cotton ball, similar in appearance to Haiku, but he was not even 3 months old. His name was Xerxes. He was still recovering from an illness, but would be available for adoption in another week or so. After that week and a few days had passed, I adopted Xerxes and brought him home. He fit right in with my business. Xerxes was active and fearless, not unlike Haiku when she was healthy. He introduced himself to everyone and just wanted to play. Unlike Haiku, he didn't push the boundaries too much. He never insisted on getting into things that were off limits. He did not, however, distinguish between his ferret brothers and sisters and his canine and feline brothers and sisters. He wanted to play equally with everyone. In fact, I had a brief moment of terror when Xerxes ran up to my cat Tigger and jumped onto his back. Tigger was gentle, but was not used to anyone pouncing on him. He did have a good ferret friend. Piper loved cats and would often sit with Tigger by his side or face to face. I thought Tigger might at least hiss, if not swat, at Xerxes and run away. He did none of those. Instead, he let Xerxes sit on his back and then snuggle next to him. What was a brief moment of terror quickly became one of my best memories. From that point on, Xerxes and Tigger were good friends. Tigger would relax on a blanket or pillow on the floor, and Xerxes would run over to him and they'd bump noses. I don't have a lot of crazy stories about Xerxes. He was never a troublemaker and never had any health issues or needed medications. When he was very young, he moved quickly all the time, making it nearly impossible to get a clear picture of him. So I sometimes refer to him lovingly as Blurxes. He eventually held still enough for a number of really great pictures, my favorite of which has him wearing a cap and bow tie while his right arm rests on a table in front of him, making him look a bit like that Kenny Rogers meme, "I don't always something, but when I do," that's floated around the internet for years. I can say that everyone loved Xerxes, and he loved everyone. I have 2 large cages that my ferrets sleep in, and while I don't have anyone assigned to one cage or the other, most of them prefer one cage or the other to be closer to a specific other ferret. But Xerxes was one who regularly moved between the 2 cages. And regardless of which one he chose, there were always multiple ferrets who wanted to cuddle with him. Xerxes was one of the very few ferrets whose birthday I knew exactly. He was born on December 11, 2016. I adopted him at exactly 3 months old on March 11, 2017. He was the first of 2 ferrets I adopted around the same time. I adopted another young ferret, who I would name 7 of 9, the following month, and he became part of the very active and playful trio of Xerxes, Bowie, and 7. On occasion, Xerxes would stand up on his back legs and wrap his front paws around my wrist to have me pick him up. This reminded me of my ferret Zoe, who did the very same thing and had passed away about 1.5 years before Xerxes was born. Xerxes had a magnificent fluffy coat of fur in the winter and eventually started wearing it all year round. With his gentle and playful nature, my dog Harry, who was still missing his friend Haiku, took to Xerxes and I found the two of them bumping noses and chasing each other, just like I would watch Harry do with Haiku. Xerxes welcomed many ferrets into the family, from Seven and Rhea to Dodger and Ace, Willow, Terra, Anya, Summer, and Twixel, Ludo and Dennis, Illyria, Rose, two more Milos, Charlie and Spunky, and Pepper, and more. On occasion, he would do what's referred to as a dead sleep. He was so relaxed and in such a deep sleep that when it was time to wake up for playtime, he'd be completely limp and unresponsive, but of course breathing. I could hold him for a minute or two before he'd wake up, and then he was off to play. As I noted earlier, Xerxes never needed any medications, not even any supplements, even at almost 6.5 years old. That is, until Wednesday, May 31st, 2023. The night before, at the start of playtime, Xerxes didn't come out to play on his own. This wasn't too unusual, as he had overslept before, being in the aforementioned dead sleep. I retrieved him from his barrel and held him, waiting for him to wake up. I waited, and waited, and waited. While he would usually wake up within a minute or two, it had now been 10 minutes, and he wasn't waking up. He was breathing, though. After 15 minutes, I knew something was wrong. I had recently checked his blood glucose and knew he didn't have insulinoma. His blood glucose was completely normal. I contacted his doctor, who asked me to check his heart rate. I couldn't quickly find the baby stethoscope I had, so I felt for his heart and then put my ear to his chest and listened. His heart was beating, but I couldn't reliably hear it. I estimated his heart rate to be around 100 beats per minute, which I knew was too low for a ferret. I relayed the information to his doctor, who recommended I give him two medications, which thankfully I had on hand for other ferrets, and monitor him for the next hour, then take him to emergency if he didn't improve. He did improve somewhat, but I was still concerned as I wasn't sure what brought this on. The next morning, Xerxes was still okay, but not great. He was able to stand and eat some soup, but immediately afterward was having trouble standing. By now, his regular vet was open, so I called for an emergency appointment. I rushed him to the vet clinic, where the doctor confirmed that it was his heart. Their equipment registered an average heart rate of 28 beats per minute that morning. For a healthy ferret, it should be closer to 240 beats per minute. The doctor said the medications I gave him the night before were indeed the right ones to give him, but we would be increasing the dosage of one of them. She also cautioned that these medications would only work for a period of time, in the absolute best case, 6 months, and that really Xerxes would need a pacemaker, which was not a procedure that she had experience with performing, nor is it common for ferrets. The following day, I began my research to find a clinic or university that could give Xerxes a pacemaker. A few days later, I found what I needed and began making arrangements with his doctor to get him to a nearby state for the procedure, which meant boarding my other ferrets with a trusted facility and getting someone to feed and water my dogs and cats for the 2 days that I would be gone with Xerxes. The plan was coming together for Xerxes to get his pacemaker on June 23rd. 2023. On June 6th, Xerxes woke up for playtime and ate a bowl of soup. He was up and about, acting normal. The medications appeared to be working. After some late playtime, he curled up on a pillow a couple of feet from where I was sitting. I fell asleep myself for a bit. When I awoke, most of the ferrets had put themselves to bed. I went around and gathered the ones who fell asleep in their favorite spots. I picked Xerxes up, and he was sound asleep. Or so I thought. As with that first night just a week earlier, that I found something was off with him, Xerxes didn't wake up after a minute or two. I watched him closely. I could not see him breathing. I felt for his heartbeat. I could not find it. It took me a good hour to accept what had happened. Just a week after first symptoms and diagnosis, Xerxes' heart had stopped completely, and he passed away in his sleep. My little man was gone. And so ended the era that started with haiku and ended with Xerxes. It spanned slightly more than 10 years. I will never forget either of them. When I look at every ferret here with me now, I can remember a scene of them snuggling with or playing with Xerxes. When I see my dog Harry playing with a ferret, it reminds me of how he played with first haiku and then Xerxes. And when I set up for ferret playtime and open those kitchen pantry doors, I think of how haiku is the reason that I do that. Losing Xerxes so quickly after such a long life of health was a shock and, of course, heartbreaking. It was the second loss in barely a month, with his big sister Summer having passed from kidney failure just weeks prior. And it wasn't the last heartbreaking loss for June of 2023. But that's a story for another episode. In memory of haiku, shortly after her passing, I wrote the following haiku for her. The season too brief, graceful but ephemeral. Rest now, sweet haiku. And today, a haiku for Xerxes. He danced with glee, Xerxes, playful soul, so bright. Now still, love remains. If you'd like to share a story about a special pet, visit us at talkintalespodcast.com or on Facebook at facebook.com/talkintales. Stories are pre-recorded, so you don't have to worry about being live on the air. And if you'd prefer to write your story, I'm happy to read it for you. Again, please get in touch via talkintalespodcast.com or on Facebook at facebook.com/talkintales. That's T-A-L-K-I-N-T-A-I-L-S. If you run a rescue or shelter, or know someone who does, please have them get in touch so we can feature them on an upcoming episode. If you'd like to support the show, you can find us on Patreon at patreon.com/talkintales. No matter what podcast app you choose, please take a moment to rate and review the show and share it with a friend. It helps us find new listeners, which means we can bring you more stories.